ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सहनाभवतो सहनाभुनक्तो सहवीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम कर्तुराज्ञया प्राप्यते फलम् कर्तुराज्ञया प्राप्यते फलम् कर्म किं परम् कर्म तज्जडम् कर्म किं परम् कर्म तज्जडम् कृतिमहो ददौ पतनकारणम् कृतिमहो ददौ पतनकारणम् फलमशाश्वतम् गतिनिरोधकम् फलमशाश्वतम् गतिनिरोधकम् ईश्वरार्पितम् नेच्छया कृतम् ईश्वरार्पितम् नेच्छया कृतम् चित्तशोधकम् मुक्तिसाधकम् चित्तशोधकम् मुक्तिसाधकम् कायवाङ्मन कार्यमुत्तमम् कायवाङ्मन कार्यमुत्तमम् पूजनम् जपश्चिन्तनम् क्रमात् पूजनम् जपश्चिन्तनम् क्रमात् रमण महर्षि बिगिन्स् हिस् टीचिङ्ग् रिवीलिङ्ग् दि लिमिटेशन् आफ् the performance of actions in terms of accomplishing our end called moksha. So he explained clearly, karma is jadam. The jadam karma, which has its origin, which has ignorance as its origin, which is a product of ignorance, definitely cannot result in moksha, which is the very reality. Mokshaha and reality are not two different things. And thereafter, he started saying, but it is not possible to accomplish moksha without performing action also. Therefore, performance of action is something inevitable and important. Only if we expect moksha to be the karma phalam, then we will be disappointed. But without performing karma also we cannot accomplish moksha. So mere performance of action also will not result in moksha. But still performance of karma is very important. And but that karma can be converted into yoga with a proper attitude. So for the karma to become karma yoga, so he highlights the importance of karma yoga in the third verse. Ishwararpitam nechayakritam. He says chitta shodhakam mukti sadhakam. Very beautiful, simple words. See, chitta shodhakam mukti sadhakam. See, karma performed with proper attitude, with an attitude of offering it to Ishvara, now paves way for the mental purity. Chitta shodhakam bhavati. Then thereby it becomes an indirect means for knowledge, which is moksha. Mukti sadhakam. It becomes indirect means for moksha. Muktehe sadhakam sadhanam bhavati. In muktim sadhayati. Now, in fact, it helps one to accomplish moksha. So, it's an indirect means for moksha. Because why we say indirect means and direct means? Because what is moksha is nothing but discovering happiness which is already there. Therefore, happiness is fullness and fullness is the nature of the reality. Fullness is the reality itself. Fullness and reality are not two different things. Nirevum paramburulam iruveru potkal alla. Paramburule nirevu nireve paramburul. So this is understand. So knowing the paramburul itself is knowing what nirevu is. Therefore, knowledge is the means here. Knowledge itself is the means for moksha, and knowledge and moksha are identical. Arive mukti. First we say, you know, knowledge is means for moksha, then we say knowledge itself is mokshaha. They are identical. Therefore, knowledge is the means if we say, but for the mental preparedness required for that knowledge to dawn, that preparedness is taken care of by karma yoga. If we live a life of karma yoga, the preparedness required on the part of the mind for the knowledge to dawn, you know, is taken care of. Therefore, we say karma yoga, living a life of karma yoga, serves as an indirect means for moksha. So you know that actually how the karma, any action performed in conformity with dharma becomes yoga. Becomes yoga means it contributes for mental preparedness. And karma performed with the proper attitude of offering it to Bhagavan becomes yoga. If this attitude is not there, it's just simple karma. A mere karma binds, karma yoga liberates. Karma badhnati karma yogaha. No, karma yogena muchyate. Mochayati. Karma yogaha mochayati. That releases, liberates. And similarly, the person who is committed to live a life of dharma and also who performs all one's actions with proper attitude, also entertains certain attitude towards all anything which comes in life, is also understood Ishwara prasada buddhi. Whatever comes is prasadaha. I explained to you earlier sometime, how is it possible for one to look at anything as Ishwara prasada? Now we remember the Ishwara is everything means definitely the results of actions also Ishwara. Because results of actions are not really given by anybody. Kartuhu agyaya. He faced the very first sentence. He begins his sentence, Kartuhu agyaya prapyate phalam. The results of actions are determined by the natural laws which are Ishwara. Therefore, that is a kartra agya is what? What is the order of the Lord means what? Law and order. Niyati. Determined by the natural laws means any fruit of action, every situation is definitely phalam, ordained by the natural law, and which is Ishwara, therefore prasadaha. And once you are able to look at this, any situation as a prasadam ordained by the natural law, Bhagavan of natural law, the law ordained fruit situations or Lord ordained situations, then we can relate, look at them as prasada, then we can accept them with sameness of mind. That samatvam is also what? Yogaha, which you will be understanding this particular point, samatvam, yogaha and Bhagavad Gita elaborately. So these three things really convert one's actions into yoga. The actions governed by dharma. So any action done, actions performed, even though actions are impelled by one's desires, but still they're always managed. Desires manage desires. Desires become managed. How do they become managed? Because the actions are chosen. Only the actions which are in conformity with dharma are performed. Okay, actions which have to be performed transgressing dharma are just, you know, just ignored. They're not, you know, one refrains from performing wrong actions means that's how desires are managed and that the dharma governed karma. Actions performed in conformity with dharma becomes convert the karma into yoga. Then actions performed with proper attitude of offering it to Bhagavan. I explained to you last class itself, it is not possible for us to think of every time you do something, you can't say, I'm offering it to Bhagavan. So what do we mean by offering our actions, you know, with an attitude of, you know, performing our actions and attitude of offering it to Bhagavan means, what do we mean by that? Actually speaking, that implies one being clear about one's the purpose of living this life. And what is the purpose of living this life? What am I living this life for? Doesn't matter whatever is my profession, whatever a lifestyle I'm ordained, but what am I living this life for? If this is very clear, purpose of life. So the purpose of living this life is to discover the fullness which is already there. And discover, no, I don't want to discover, so you can't say, I told you already, it's a choiceless, inevitable, choiceless end. That is why we are living this life. But to live this life, to discover that, I need to be prepared mentally, I need to be mentally steady and pure, and to until I gain that mental purity and steadiness also, I had to live this life. Without living this life, I can't accomplish anything. To live this life, I had to pursue artha and kama. Therefore, I should be very clear about the purpose, okay? What is the purpose of pursuing artha? What is the purpose of, when pursuing kama? What is the purpose of, what is the necessity, okay, of living a life of dharma? What am I living this life ultimately for? Then be very clear. If I pursue artha and kama in conformity with dharma, to live this life, ultimately to discover moksha. If this is very clear, then definitely that is when a person becomes, one becomes a spiritual person. If the purpose of living this life is not very clear, then if one cannot commit oneself to the pursuit of knowledge, then there is no spirituality about the person. And when a person becomes a spiritual person, that's why I told you the jigyasu bhaktaha. You have to include here now. A karma yogi, I told you in the very first class, karma yogi is a real bhaktaha, real devotee. Karma and bhakti are not two different things. Bhakti is part of karma, in fact. Bhakti is karma with bhakti becomes yoga. Understand now? Karma with bhakti becomes yoga. Karma minus bhakti is just the karma. So what is the bhakti here? The desire for knowledge of the truth is there, then there is real devotion. The real devotion. If the knowledge of the truth is there, then that is the absolute devotion. It's the best of the devotion. Jnani bhaktaha, one who knows the truth is the jnani bhaktaha, the best of the devotees. One who wants to know the truth, one who wants to know who Bhagavan is, he is a real devotee, jigyasu bhaktaha. Therefore, once a person becomes a jigyasu bhakta, the real devotee is a spiritual person. And who is the one who becomes desirous of knowing who Bhagavan is, what the truth is? Only one who has purushartha nischaya, one who has clear understanding of the purpose of living this life. That is why it's very purushartha nischayaha means being definite about one's end being mokshaha, thereby being definite about the knowledge of the truth and moksha being identical. Now, the one who has a very clear understanding of the purpose of living this life, he becomes a jignasu bhaktaha. And he is a spiritual person. And such a spiritual person, once his purpose is very clear, whatever that person does, he does to live the life, he is living his life to discover the truth. Then all his actions become offered to Bhagavan. I told you. This is how all the actions become offered to Bhagavan. If the purpose of living this life is very clear, and if one knows the value of knowledge, thereby one becomes committed to the pursuit of knowledge. And for him, work is worship. Work becomes worship. Whatever he does becomes worship. Karma yoga means living a life. If somebody is living a life of karma yoga, means that for that person, the whole life is what? Life of worship. So worship and karma are not two different things for that person. And such a person, because knows the value of significance of worship and also efficacy of prayer, he is also worshipful and prayerful. It is impossible for one to be a karma yogi without being worshipful and prayerful. It is impossible for one to be a karma yogi without having a clear understanding of the purpose of living this life. Without knowing the value of knowledge. The person does not understand the value of knowledge. There is no need for him to be committed to the pursuit of knowledge. It is impossible. If there is no commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, it is impossible for him to know the value of dharma. There is no need for him to be righteous all the time. There is possibility of him becoming unethical. Therefore, then that person's worship and prayer become just the religious. He is just merely a religious person. Out of fear, he prays and worships. But the spiritual person is definitely worshipful and prayerful. Therefore, he is religious. And because all his actions are completely governed by dharma, because he knows the value of becoming mentally pure and steady, he is also ethical. I'm repeating it today. A karma yogi is a real devotee, a spiritual person. And a spiritual person is the one who is religious as well as ethical. And I told you also earlier, this ethical person need not be religious and spiritual. A religious person need not be spiritual and ethical also. But a spiritual person is definitely ethical and religious. And he is a karma yogi, he is a real devotee. And such a person, for him the purpose is very clear. Therefore, he knows the value of knowledge. He is 100% totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge. But he knows knowledge takes its own time. All the mind is ready, it won't take very long for the knowledge to dawn. All that we need is the preparation of the mind. The manasa sari panna podum. Understand, jnanam is readily available. Knowledge is there. Moksha is already, that's why we say, you are not going to achieve anything that is not there. Everything is already there, readily available. The mind alone has to become ready. That is why karma yoga is emphasized. So for such a person who purposefully, okay, with the very clear understanding of purpose and value of knowing the value of knowledge, he pursues artha and karma just for the sake of living this life in conformity with dharma, then naturally all his actions, without being uttered, okay, without being told, become offered to Bhagavan, then that person's karma yoga is worship. Karma becomes worship if it is converted into yoga by entertaining proper attitude and by being committed to live a life of dharma. This is karma yoga. So Ishwar arpitam na ichchayakritam. Actions are not done as one's wishes, as one's own likes and dislikes. Nechayakritam, chitta shodakam and mukti sadhakam. So he emphasizes the value of karma yoga in the next verse. And third verse we saw. Then he says, this kayavangmana karyamuttamam. Kayavangmana karyamuttamam pujanam japas chintanam kramat pujanam japas chintanam kramat. So here I told you a karma yogi's action itself is worship, isn't it? Now the one who is a karma yogi, everybody has to play many roles, because responsibilities are many, duties are many. Therefore, every person has to play different roles. A karma yogi also plays different roles. In playing every role, he has to execute. He has to live, do all the actions. But always, as a karma yogi, is always a bhaktaha, a real devotee. He is never a non-devotee. A karma yogi is never a non-devotee. When is he not a devotee? Playing the role of a father, he is a devotee. Playing the role of a son, he is a devotee. Playing the role of a professional, he is a devotee. Karma yogi is never a non-devotee, always devotee. Whatever is the role play, in every role play there is a devotee in him. He is always a bhakta. Why? He does everything, whatever he does, whichever role he plays, his actions are performed to live the life, understand? And the life is lived ultimately for moksha. His commitment is to the pursuit of knowledge. Therefore, he is always a devotee. Look at this now. When are you a devotee? Only on Sundays or only on Fridays or three times a day, five times a day? Understand, karma yogi, there is no fraction of second, he is not a devotee. Understand, this is a Hindu concept of devotion. Look at this. Always he is a devotee. This karma yogi is always a devotee. In every role play, he is a devotee. A role play plus a devotee. Understand, a karmi is just a role play. For karma yogi, who has this attitude of looking at everything as prasadam, and everything is done for ultimately to discover Ishvara Bhagavan. Therefore, commitment to dharma is there. Therefore, unshaken, no? he is not moved, and always there is, he is non-reactive and accommodative and kind. I tell you, once you try to become a karma yogi, you know, all these things naturally will become. The karma yogi is just a sadhu. So a person who lives a life of karma yoga becomes a sadhu really. Hada means what? No, all accommodative, understanding, non-reactive, non-impulsive. No, lot of things also slowly they also come. The person, life itself is different. That's why it's, then you can understand. The person who is committed to Bhagavan, very strong, bold, but kind. Accommodative. Person is a karma yogi. But as a karmi, if you see, very, very attached to everything and very reactive, very impulsive, can't take things, always regretting and damaging relationships, is all karmi. So who is a karmi? Who is a karma yogi? If purushartha nischayaha is there, the purpose of living this life is very clear, one can become a karma yogi. The purpose of living this life is not very clear, definitely you can't help being a karmi, okay? You will be a karmi. If purushartha nischaya is there, value of knowledge is known, commitment to knowledge is possible, then you are a spiritual person. Their value of knowledge cannot be known. If this purushartha nischaya is not there, purpose of life, living this life is not very clear, then value of knowledge cannot be known. It is not possible for one to become committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Once commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is not there, definitely it is not that easy to understand the value of living a life of dharma. Value of dharma, value of values cannot be understood. Then that is not there, it is not possible to live, to be committed to live a life of values. Then you will be transgressing values, then you will be disturbing the order, and you will be unhappy. You are also contributing unknowingly for the agitation, disturbance in the order. This is karmi and this is karma yogi. The difference between karmi and karma yogi. Karmi may be a religious person, okay, maybe artha bhaktaha or arthi bhaktaha. Karmi definitely is not a jigyasa bhaktaha. Jigyasa, real devotee. Karma yogi is a real devotee, a jigyasa bhaktaha, spiritual person. But a karmi can be, understand, can be ethical, may not be ethical. A karmi may be religious, may not be religious. Even if he is worshipful and prayerful, he must be only artha bhaktaha. A distressed devotee worships Bhagavan only when he is in distress. Or arthi bhaktaha, he prays only for some arthakama. For accomplishing arthakama, he wants Bhagavan's help. But definitely not a jignasa bhakta. He is a devotee, but not a real devotee. Therefore, understand, that is what is the difference between karmi and karma yogi. He is then, karmi is devotee whenever he is in trouble. Karmi becomes a devotee whenever he wants Bhagavan's help to accomplish artha kama. He seeks some help or removal of obstacles in accomplishing artha kama and pursuing artha kama. He will be prayed to Bhagavan, he worship. Therefore, he is once in a world devotee. But karma yogi, you should ask, when is he devotee? When he is not a devotee. Understand, a karma yogi is a devotee throughout, day and night, sleeping and while he is awake, always he is a devotee. Understand, it's a very important thing. But this mind, for antahkarna shuddhi, for mental purification, which without which knowledge is not possible. For that, Shastram recommends living a life of karma yoga. Also, mind has to become steady. The unsteady, agitated mind has to become steady also. For that, Shastram prescribes upasanam as a means. For mental purity, living a life of karma yoga is prescribed. For mental steadiness, upasanam is prescribed. What is upasanam? Upasanam is a meditation. I told you even earlier. Upa means near. Asana means seat. So being seated near. Arihil amardal. Upasanam means arihil amardal. Understand? Being seated near. So what? Who is sitting near? Near whom? Near what? So placing the mind near Bhagavan is upasanam. Placing the mind near Bhagavan is upasanam. Manadin gavanathai irevanukku arugamayil niruthudal is upasanam. Placing attention of the mind near Bhagavan is upasanam. Now, our effort is to understand who Bhagavan is. That means we do not know who Bhagavan is. And how can we place attention near Bhagavan? That is why living a life of karma yoga is always to remain connected, to be reminded of your purpose. Understand now? Living a life of karma yoga means you are always with the thought of Bhagavan. There is no fraction of a second when the karma yogi forgets Bhagavan. Even he doesn't think Bhagavan in a given form or anything, for him all in everything he does what? For Ishvara, for discovering the truth. For Ishvara means not for the sake of Bhagavan, for his own sake he is doing, but still for his own happiness, which is Bhagavan. Therefore, the karma yogi is always with Ishvara. There is never Bhagavan is away in his life. He remains closer to Bhagavan. And here we say, but this upasanam, we say, placing attention of the mind near Bhagavan is upasanam means. So do you mean meditation then? Yes, meditation is upasanam. Mental activity is upasanam, we don't say no. But before that, in karma yogi is the one who plays different roles, but in playing every role, he remains as a devotee. He is a devotee there. But suppose if you can play just the role of a devotee without playing any other roles. In playing every role, karma yogi is a devotee. But if a karma yogi can be a devotee without playing any roles, then that becomes what? That becomes upasanam. So playing a karma yogi is always a devotee in all his role plays. So without playing any role, he simply remains as a devotee. Then becomes what? Simply remaining a devotee is simply being in meditation. Upasanam. So how can he be a just devotee without playing other roles? That is for that. That's called worship. Understand now? Worship. To be just a devotee, a mere devotee, without playing any roles, we worship the Lord. So worship is what? Worshipping and praying to the Lord. Worshipping the Lord or praying to the Lord is to remain connected with the Lord, wherein one is just a devotee without any other role plays. This is for steadying the mind. It's a pre-preparation for the actual meditation. So how can you place your mind in Bhagavan? By worshipping. If I worship the Lord, no other role play is here. I worship the Lord. I perform, no, it's a ritual, perform a ritual. Okay, I worship the Lord. I pray to the Lord. Thereby I remain connected to the Lord. Even without knowing who the Lord is also, still my thought is with the Lord. Unknown Lord, understand? The element connected to the Lord means it becomes upasanam. So we say here that is called worship, and worship involves threefold karma again. How can you worship the Lord? So worshipping the Lord is upasanam. The effort to remain connected with the Lord, wherein one is just a devotee without any role plays. So worship serves as a pre-preparation for meditation. Even though the word upasanam literally means placing the mind near Bhagavan, the upasanam, we can say, involves threefold karma. Worship, we can say worship is a karma, so involves threefold karma means, we say first, kayikam karma, a physical activity, manasam karma, mental activity, vachikam karma, oral activity. So when you do physical karma, physically also do something. You worship the Lord. Especially you sit and worship the Lord, for which you perform a ritual. It can be a performance of a fire ritual prescribed in the Karma Kanda of the Veda. Whether you perform a Ganapati homam, now you kindle a fire, and you chant the mantras, you offer oblations, and then you perform a ritual, fire ritual. This is a form of worship. It's a physical activity. And while doing the offering oblations into the fire, you also chant mantras. It's an oral activity. And while chanting the mantra, while offering oblations, you see your mind is, you are not thinking of anything else. Your mind is totally involved in mantras you are chanting and the karma you are doing. This is also what? Mind also is involved in physical and oral activities. In fact, in any physical activity, mental activity, oral activity, mind should be involved. Mind is involved. That is why that action also becomes sort of meditation. Now we say, Seivana Thirundachai. No? We say, be attentive. No? Do anything attentively. Means what? You see, you are conscious of what you are doing. So the physical activity. So it's a form of worship where you perform a fire ritual. Either you do it or you make somebody else give dakshina, ask us to do, but you sit and also listen to that attentively. Then we say otherwise we have abhishekam in temples. Big abhishekam we perform. Abhishekam one sort of offering, isn't it? We offer so many things. In fact, performing abhishekam in the temples is a substitute for this fire ritual, homa. We offer everything into oblation. No? This is a vaidikam karma. This is smartha karma. Actually, we do this. This is performing abhishekam is a later, post-Vedic ritual. Okay, Vedic ritual means performing fire ritual. So, substitute for fire ritual again is what? Abhishekam. It's also kayakam karma. Even if Archaka is doing, you're sitting there, you are chanting and then seeing what he is doing, keeping the mind there, you chant a mantra something, then it becomes kayakam karma, vachikam karma, and mind also is involved, manasam karma also. Because initially we have to do that. Then what is the role play? Tell me when you are doing, seeing, going to the temple, sitting in front of the deity, when you see Archaka perform the abhishekam, you are not praying for anything. Just seeing the murti, seeing what is being done, chanting the mantras, without thinking of anything else, what are you? You remain connected, isn't it? It's a physical activity actually. So, performing a fire ritual or performing abhishekam, going to the temple worship, or you worship Bhagavan at home itself. Light the lamp, as I told you last class, and then doing our Shodashopachara pujas, all those things, our Panchapachara pujas, Panchayatana puja. We have Panchayatana means worshipping mainly Shiva, Vishnu, Shakti, Ganesha, Sun. It's a Panchamut, just generally worship. It's called Panchayatana puja. Like we have many pujas. Any puja you do at home or you go to temple and worship or you perform a fire ritual, they all come under what? The kayikam karma, wherein vachikam karma is involved, also manasam karma also is involved. Mind is involved, oral activity is also involved, also physical activity. Then you are not playing any other role, you are just a devotee. A karma yogi who is always a devotee in all his role plays, when he is worshipping, he is a devotee minus role play. Is for what? Mental steadiness. But playing, listen now, being a devotee in all role plays is what? It is for mental purity. Mental purity and mental steadiness. Because it's not, it is a sort of pre-preparation for meditation. So in kayikam, in physical activity, oral activity is involved because you are chanting. Also, and the mind also has to be there. But even the mind goes somewhere, again you try to bring the mind back, so you see that mind does not go anywhere. Then becomes kayikam and vachikam. Then sometimes, without even doing this kayikam vachikam, karma, physical activity or mental oral activity, so without doing any physical activity, can simply do vachikam karma. So he says, kaya vang mana karyam uttamam. It is always better to do worship the Lord, okay, as a upasanam, as a pre-preparation for meditation. Understand? Wherein one can invoke just the devotee in oneself, without playing any roles. The uttamam. Kim uttam, what is the best, what is better here? Kaya vang mana karyam. A kaya karyam, physical activity. Vang karyam, oral activity. Mana karyam, mental activity. So, performing puja or yajnaha. See, puja is a feminine gender word. Yajnaha, homaha, yagaha, nakratuhu. All worship, different words to mean worship in Sanskrit. Kratuhu, yajnaha, yagaha, homaha. Now in Hindi the people say havan and we say Tamil velvi. Understand? All these words mean puja. Puja means what? Worship. We have pure Tamil word, we want vayibad. Understand? We have this. So all this is for what? This is to invoke the pure devotee without playing any roles. Mental steadiness. Understand? Mental steadiness is a pre-preparation for meditation. Because there in performing, even as a karma yogi, you are still distracted. Understand? It's for mental purity. So how beautifully he is presenting, isn't it? The steps, look at the steps. Then, kaya vak, he says, than this physical activity also, what is better is, what is more exalted is, just the vachikam karma. Initially, when you're so restless and agitated, start doing puja. Understand? Because that is when you sit. Not easy, no? So to do chandi parayanam, 3.5 hours you can't get up. Had to sit Narayani Paranam, 8 hours you can't get up. Had to just sit. Even if you get up for toilet or bathroom, you have to go unavoidably and again have shower, change and come. You know that? The discipline. Ekadashi, Upavasaha, no? Whole days fasting. We can simply fast. That is without thinking of food. Understand now? And then doing japam. A whole day, not an easy job, isn't it? It's all disciplines, all come, what, go with this. All the disciplines are followed as worship, as a form of worship. Different forms of worship. One day Ekadashi, one day Shivaratri. But the mind is not in Bhagavan, all this becomes waste, meaningless. don't, it is useless if we simply keep awake the whole night watching some Bollywood movie. It's not Shivaratri then. It's na Ashubaratri, that is then. Better sleep and have good rest. Then what I'm saying, for some people, we are fasting so many, we're also keeping a whole night, we're keeping awake. What are you going to? Garba, how long? Till 12 o'clock. Afterwards, we all watch the Bollywood movie. What Shivaratri is? Okay, let's see, children do all those things. They have some fun. Okay. Now what I'm saying here, the worship, now oral activity, when you say oral activity, this better, he says, at least initially start doing it. It's very important. Sit. Now, suppose chant, cook food, offer to Bhagavan, sit there, chant. And as chanting, offer flowers, offer akshata. You have to offer, no? Offer all those things. Yes. And here, to offer akshata, what do we have? You also chant different names of the Lord. Lord is one, we have Ashta Uttar Shata Namavalihi, 108 names of the Lord. Okay, sometimes Sahasra, na Ashtotra Sahasra Namavalihi, 1008 names of the Lord. Vishnu Sahasra Namavali Archana. We do some. Sometimes Laksha Archana, a big job, okay. It's not one day puja, you commit for whole Navaratri, at least try to do one lakh. But if you can't do, also have some friends and then you start doing it. Or if you also have some discipline. Get, and then you are offering this. Now as you're offering, we have to collect flowers and keep all worship only. Understand? Then it's all karma anga. Collecting flowers and keeping them and then making preparing the altar, everything is karma anga. Then you sit and then focused and then no distraction, nothing, no phone card attending, nothing, then you offer. No? When you offer, you also utter the names. Om Vishwasmai Namaha. Om Putatmaya Namaha. You offer, no? Krishnaya Namaha. Om Govindaya Namaha. Om Madhavaya Namaha. When you say all these names, as you say, it becomes what? Different names are chanted. It's called Stavaha. Stavaha, Stotram, Stutihi. All the three words mean the same. In Tamil, we say Tudi. Tudi Porka Valvinai Pom. Okay? Tudi means what? Sanskrit word only. Stutihi. Is a feminine Japanese also. Stutihi means praise. Tuditam. Mukastuti. Solramala. Tamil language, we have this word. Stutihi is a feminine gender word which means praise. And in Sanskrit, in a masculine gender word is stavaha. Stavaha. And the neuter gender word is stotram. Stotram. Stutihi, Stavaha, all the words, three words mean the same in three genders in Sanskritam. Now, Puhaidal. Now, we say this is praising. So, singing in praise of the glories of the Lord is also part of, it's a form of worship, part of this karma, as a karmanga. Isn't it? So, here we say every word reveals, all words reveal the glories of the Lord. So different words come, different namas, names come. Then it becomes what? Stavaha. Suppose what you utter is only one name, becomes Japaha. What is Japaha? What is Stavaha? Only one, if you repeat one name, Om Krishna Yanamaha, Om Krishna Yanamaha, Om Krishna Yanamaha. One name I say 108 times becomes Japaha. If you say Om Krishnaya Namaha, Om Govindaya Namaha, Om Madhavaya Namaha, it becomes Stavaha. Both the same. So it's a Vachikam Karma. What is it now? It's a oral activity. So we do this. So as when you do this, your mind does not go anywhere. Where is the mind? The mind is trained to be in the ritual you are performing, in the action you are doing. Where is the mind? Mind is in akshata, mind is in flower, mind is in offering, mind is in the murti, mind is here. Suppose Krishna Jayanti, Krishna is the altar there, mind is here. There is no big meditation, it's only pre-preparation for meditation, it's not actual meditation here. Where is the mind? In this karma. What is the karma? What is the karma being done now? Bhagavan is praised. They are worshipping. Worshipping means what? It involves many units of small actions, okay? One action consisting of many units of actions. from forming the altar, preparing the thing, and offering, and namaskaram, until arati, the whole thing is what? This is puja. It's a worship. Kaikam karma. This will also slowly prepare. This is how, at least until you finish the puja. Once you start the puja, until you finish the puja, you don't think of your other jobs. What happened in the hospital? Did any phone call come? Who rang me? Who called me? No, what is happening? Nothing. No, none of your role plays. Okay? Roles you play is remained. And you know, you remember. For length of time, you just take your mind away from all your roles you play, all your other things. You are just the devotee. You remain connected to Bhagavan, just doing this. Kaikam karma is an upasanam, understand now? It's a pre-preparation for meditation, wherein you physically, you are involved. By involving yourself physically, remaining, you know, to keep your mind remain connected to Bhagavan, and orally, physically, you are doing something which is worship. Very meaningful. Look at this. How nice it is. See, sit and look quietly. So even for that, you need some sort of distraction-free mind. That itself, look at this. Go, don't think of meditation. That is why when people go on these pradosham days, when I see people getting restless and then jumping and running around, people come to temples because they do elaborate pujas and then people get restless. In the temples I see here. And how many told, okay, foreign countries you should not do too elaborate pujas because people had to get back home, they had to do work next day. Make the puja short. So see people are more focused. The utsams are okay. Once in a while the utsams we have to do properly. We can't help. Then the idea is that you have to be focused. This kaikam karma. Better than this kaikam karma is vachikam karma. What is vachikam karma? See, vachikam karma can be in the form of stavaha, done in the form of stavaha, in the form of japaha. You can praise the Lord, you know, invoking the Lord's grace, you know, uttering many names of the Lord, or just repeating only one nama. And even in this japaha, even in this vachikam karma, japa is better than stavaha. Look at this. What is better than what? So if you are not, sometimes you get bored. People get bored with one nama, they can't be focused. One name you are repeating, finally you may fall asleep. It is very natural for people to become mechanical and then falling asleep, okay? That's why always you are given many names, because your attention is changes. Now some sort of you are allowed to go from one name to another name. Therefore, stavaha is vachikam karma, means singing in praise of the Lord, chanting the names of the Lord, or reciting the names of the Lord. Many names of the Lord is tavaha, and wherein it can be bhajan singing, it can be archana, it can be anything. Kritis, everything comes here. But japaha is repeating one name of the Lord. One mantra. Repeating. So japaha itself means repeated utterance. And japa can be repeatedly saying a given mantra or given name of the Lord becomes what? Japaha. That is better. And this also, he says, you can say it loudly, much, no? Much loudly you can say, or you can say softly. We're going to see the next verse is going to come here. Softly you say or loudly you say. There, you have choice. And the softly done japam is better than, you know, saying something much aloud. It's softly done is better. It's more effective. Om Krishnaya Namaha, Om Vasudevaya Namaha, Govindaya Namaha. Then you can sing Om Krishnaya Namaha, Om Govindaya Namaha. Oh, no, that is, this is always better. And even then, It's also much softer. In Kerala, if you meet Kerala Nambudiris, Kerala people, they know the panikas and the Nambudiris, they come under the puja, you can never hear what they say. You can say, but they're very genuine, okay? Because they want to be focused. They be a scream, attention gets distracted. So they always, they do any puja now. In fact, this Kerala, she knows it. When you do puja, we also have them sometimes, okay? So the puja means actually very soft. They'll chant the mantra, they'll chant everything. You don't know that 5, 6, 10 priests are chanting inside, you won't even know. When you come inside, you can smell the fragrance and the diyas are there, and softly the chanting, very soft. It's just the murmuring. You can only see the lip movement, but you can't, you can make out it says chanting something. It's not, okay, it's not purely mental, but still you can't hear exactly what they're chanting. It's also soft. You see, it's much better than chanting something loudly. Chanting aloud. This is soft. This is sort of japaha. So, japaha, we can japaha, the oral activity can be of involved stavaha or japaha. Of these two, stavaha and japaha, japaha is better than stavaha. And the stavaha, japaha also can be what? Can be uccha japaha, okay? Ucchaihi kriyamanaha japaha, nichaihi kriyamanaha japaha. Listen now. Softly it can be done or it can be done now aloud. So of these two also, softly done japa is better. And he's going to say that even better than the softly done japam, just manasam japaha. What is manasam japaha? Do the, repeat the nama mentally. This is Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya. Not even the movement of the tongue. Tongue, even the tip of the tongue doesn't move. Sometimes you try, people who are used to say, they do japam very loudly. When they chant, you can see they cannot, inside the tongue will be moving. Know that? Even the lips don't move. Inside the tongue, it's very difficult for one to hold the tongue without moving. So practice. Understand now? Without even moving the tongue inside, just the mentally chanting the nama. It's called manasam japaha. Understand now? So vachikam japaha. Instead of vachikam karma involves stavaha japaha. And this of the japaha, uccha japaha and nicha japaha. And nicha means, soft. Softly done japa. Uccha hiva, nicha hiva. Okay. And so, this japam, even manasam japaha is, he goes from oral activity to mental activity. So, kaya vang manah karyam uttamam. So it is mental manasam japaha. See, repeatedly uttering the one name of the Lord or one mantra wherein Bhagavan's glory is praised, that mantra mentally then becomes pre-preparation for meditation, which itself becomes what? Meditation. Look at this. Manasam japaha becomes manasam karma, which is mental activity, which becomes meditation. So meditation is better than japaha. Japa is better than kaikam karma. See, what is worship? If people ask, worship involves threefold karma, three types of actions. Physical activity is worship. Oral activity is worship. Mental activity is also worship. You can worship the Lord by meditating upon the Lord. Meditating upon one nama, the chanting mentally some japa, still it is worship. No karma is needed here. We just simply utter the name loudly, sing, it's also karma. It's also worship. Or do a big puja, perform a lot of act, you know, physically also, physical body is also involved, it's also karma. It's all worship. What is worship? So physically done puja is worship. Mentally, no, just repeating a nama mantra is also worship. Mentally chanting a nama is what? Worship. Worship involves kayikam, vachikam, manasam, karma. Why worship? Worship is in fact, what is significant worship is different. Now we tell you here. This worship helps you to remain connected to Bhagavan. When you are just a devotee, just to be a devotee without playing any roles. This is for preparing oneself for meditation, for mental steadiness. Is it clear? And he's going to say that, therefore, kaya vang mana karyam uttamam. See the order now, how he says. Kayakam karma is very good. So, worshipping the Lord physically or orally or mentally, doing physical activity or oral activity or mental activity, worshipping the Lord is very good. That is when you are just the devotee without any role play. This will help you to steady your mind. It is upasanam. Why we say that? Because in physical activity also mind is involved. In oral activity also mind should be involved. And mental activity, body and speech are not involved. Mind alone is involved. So mind is involved in all the three activities. That is why the worship, even though it's physical and oral and activities, still it's called upasanam. Because mind is involved there. Isn't it? Why it's called upasanam, I'm saying. So, kaya vangmana karya muttamam. Then is chintanam japa. Pujanam japaha chintanam kramat. So what is kayakam karma? Kayakaryam pujanam. So vajipadudal. Pujanam, which means physical, puja, pujanam is a neutral gender word. Puja is a feminine gender word. Pujanam, worshipping. Worship. Understand now? So pujanam, this kaya karma, kaya vangmana karyam, when he says, kaya karyam is what? Pujanam. Then, vak karyam is japaha. And manak karyam is chintanam. Thinking. Okay? Manak karyam, think. So, kramat. Kramat means, what is the order? See, in worship, the threefold activities are involved. Okay? One of the other. Kramat. Kramaha implies how they are. One is better than the other. In the order. Is it clear now? So, pujanam is a kayakam karma. Japaha stands for vachikam karma, vak karyam. And chintanam stands for manah karyam, mental activity. So, the fourth verse, in fact, highlights the importance of worship. Significance of worship. Importance of worship. How worship helps one as pre-preparation for meditation, thereby contributes for mental steadiness, wherein one can just be a pure devotee without playing any role. This is the worship. And here, I have to include one more thing here. Even though he does not talk about the significance of worship, I also said this karma, even though the main purpose of worshipping the Lord is to have mental steadiness, but it has another palam also. Worship as a byproduct also gives what? It results in prosperity. Valam pera vajipadu. Vajipadudal is for manadhe onnale paduttu vadarukka vajipadu. First we say that. Okay, vajipadu is for steadying the mind. That's the main purpose. But also to be blessed with prosperity. Definitely performing any ritual. Okay, physical, oral or mental activities. This any form of worship, is what? Definitely results in prosperity. See, nalam is only jnanam. Jnanam mattume nalam te kodukkum. Understand now? But vajibade will give valam. So, nalatil valam is included. But valatil nalam is not included. Understand? Valam and Nalam are two beautiful. We have to remember. People always think, no, oh, Valam means. Understand? We get all prosperity we need. We have to be prosperous, so for which we need Bhagavan's grace. So, worship, and I told you earlier, what is worship? Understand? Now you know what is worship. How worship serves as an upasanam, as a mental activity. How? Because it, even though in physical and moral activities, mind is involved. Therefore, it is sort of meditation. You know this. Apart from that, worship is an act of offering. And I told you, it is not possible for us to worship, offer anything to Bhagavan, because offerer is Bhagavan. Act of offering is Bhagavan. Whatever is being offered is Bhagavan. The one who is offered it is also Bhagavan. Therefore, nothing can be really offered to Bhagavan. Bhagavan does not receive anything, accept anything, does not expect anything from us. But we cannot give anything to Bhagavan because we ourselves are part of Bhagavan. Everything that we are enjoying is Bhagavan. Therefore, there is no real act of offering. And offering is a symbolic act of offering. And symbolic means Through this action, something subtle is expressed. It's called symbolic, isn't it? So it's the symbolic act of offering through which we express our really gratefulness to Bhagavan for blessing us with, or for having blessed us, for blessing us in future also with everything that we want in life. And then how this contribution is not little abundance. So here, this is, we say, this kramat. Kramat means it's very in proper order. If you see proper, the proper order, these threefold activities are involved in proper order in this one act of worship. So we are abundantly blessed. Now we're abundantly blessed with all that we need to live this life, to accomplish our, you know, accomplish something absolute. And we need to live this life. And to live this life, all that we need are abundantly. We are given everything. Are given. We are blessed with everything. And who are giving? Bhagavan. How Bhagavan gives? Bhagavan, in the form of all the phenomena, blesses us with everything. Bhagavan alone blesses. His blessing is with everything. Therefore, that we feel so grateful and humble and express our gratitude through this act of offering. Acknowledging the contribution of Bhagavan, whom of Devatas, the phenomena. So then, just through the simple act of offering one small camphor and small camphor light, a small pushpam, na patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, yome bhaktiya prayachati, patram, bilvamo allade tulasiyo. Understand? Patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, just the water. Nothing is there, just the water. Don't say, I don't have that and this is, oh, how to cook and hot. No problem. Patram, pushpam, with attitude. Purushartha nischeha. Commitment to knowledge. Commitment to Deva Dharma. The Shraddha in offering. No, with humility. When you offer patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, bhaktya. With devotion. Now you know what is devotion. With the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. Oh Bhagavan, I want your darshanam. If you say, then that is devotion. I offer only this water, but I want your darshanam. Understand now? I want your sorupo. Then you ask. Understand? You ask for a big bump. Just pay 1 rupee. Get one lottery ticket. And expect a bumper lottery. Understand now? It's like a small offering. But what to expect is something very big. Understand? This is really this is. So, patram palam bhaktya yo me prayachati. Okay? Same bhaktaha. Yaha me bhaktya prayachati. With devotion one who offers. Again, with devotion means what? Crying and weeping and again, with the devotion is not understood. Never understood. We offer all those things. But one who gives this with devotion. But what does Bhagavan really mean by the word devotion? How can you offer with the devotion? By simply becoming emotional, crying in front of Bhagavan. With the clarity about the Purushartha. The commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. Fervently praying for knowledge. Now, fervently praying for the strength to live a life of Dharma. And now, fervently praying for mental purity and mental steadiness. And being thankful for all that He has blessed you with. Or fervently, intensely praying for all that you need to live this life to ultimate something absolute. Now, with that devotion, you offer water, you offer even a small drop of water, you offer patram, pushpam, palam, toyam, whatever you offer, then you are my devotee. Same bhaktaha, no? He is my priyatamaha bhaktaha. In fact, he becomes my the best of the devotee. He becomes my real devotee, favorite devotee. That is what is there. So, manasam is the order involved here. Now, kayakam, vachikam, manasam, karma, wherein pujanam, japaha, chintanam are all involved in this karma. So, once you express this through this act of offering, through this act of worship, remaining connected with Bhagavan, no, then and you also become mentally steady in due course of time. And second thing, as you have offered your thanks to Bhagavan also, thereby what happens, you will be blessed with a lot of prosperity. That is why vayipaduvorku kandipaha valam undu. There is definitely, one cannot really, one day or the other, any amount of pujas, if people ask, oh my God, we've been doing a lot of pujas throughout our life, have we suffered like anything? Now, at last, now what happened, you had to lose everything, it doesn't matter. This is just the presently what you are losing, not because of present pujas. That does not mean Bhagavan has not protected you. I've been doing so many pujas throughout my life, but still, now what happened? You lost everything. This is what you have lost now is because of past papa. Understand now? But now you don't know how much you have, you know, what balance you have in your account, punya account. The present puja never goes waste. People should not lose hope. People say this, you know. People who are highly devoted and because some punyam, they become very devoted and do a lot of pujas and then everything and they suffer. People, other people also talk, you know, my God, they do so many pujas. Varlakshmi Pratham puja, they do that puja, they do this, that puja, they do so many puja, they do. They offer so much. They really dikshana to all brahmanas, but still look at this not today. What have they become? Paupers. So, we do not do any pujas. That's a conclusion. That is not true. I tell you, worship, no, it's a, worship is a yajna, and Bhagavad Gita says, Veda says, it's a kalpa vriksha, kama dhenuhu. No, yajna is a kama dhenuhu. Kama dhuk. Kama dhuk. Yajna is a kama dhuk. Worship is kama dhuk. Kama dhuk means kama dhenu. Why it is kama dhenu? A kama dhenu is celestial cow. Okay, celestial wish fulfilling cow. We have celestial wish fulfilling heavenly parjata tree, and we in mythology. Understand now? Our stories talk about what do we mean by this heavenly wish fulfilling cow, kamadhenu. So at the backyard, not only milk will come to your house. Anything you want, water you want to import from Sri Lanka, everything will be here next minute. Don't need to go into the shop and no spending money. Everything will be here. Anything from any part of the world will be here. That is why Vasishtha had Kamadhenu, you know that? Vasishtha is said to be have Kamadhenu. And Vishwamitra went with a big battalion of his he took a big battalion for this people. And he, Vasishtha had to feed all the people, okay? And Kamadhenu was what? No cook was there, no server was, nobody was to serve. If few people guests come home, how much you have to organize? My God, organize a big thing. Menu, you know, and all those things and preparation and arranging and then offering, this everything, so it was so many, so it's a big thing. But such a big battalion of people and the feast, and Vasishtha without even moving here and there, and the next minute food was served and people ate everything, and this Vishwamitra surprised, my God, this man is sitting here in front of without even moving, and how come he could feed so many people? Just with so many varieties of delicious dishes. What? Who was the cook? Who were the people? How could they serve everything? Everything happened. Kamadhenu was at the backyard. Okay, like, can I take this Kamadhenu with me? This was too greedy, okay? Oh my God, he said, come on. If something, knowledge is the Kamadhenu. Understand now? Jnanam is the Kamadhenu. Wish fulfilling cow. And next to fulfilling come, you know, knowledge is because in knowledge, all our wishes become fulfilled. Therefore, knowledge is kamadhenu. And next to kamadhenu is yajna, worship. If you know the secret, our whole karmakanda is based on this secret. A ritual, performance of ritual, performance of worship. Worshipping the Lord, no? is in fact so upasanam. It first is one thing, it prepares, it steadies your mind. If you're focused in doing what you're doing, you are just the devotee. Devotee in you is totally invoked there. And second thing, you're just the devotee. No role play there. At the same time, it will bless you with all prosperity. Secret. This is kamadhenu. You can pray for anything and worship anything. Though not immediately, definitely the worship will never go waste. Satyam. This is kamadhenu. Kamadhuk. Yajnasa kamadhuk. No, so therefore, this is very important. This is why here, this extra thing I want to say here. So, pujanam kaya vang mana karya muttamam pujanam japas chintanam kramat. Okay, you understand this worship in this order of doing puja and doing oral activity of japa and meditating upon nama, manasam karma, which implies kayakam, vachikam, manasam, karma. Then he says, next we're going to see, we're going to talk about, he's taking us, very beautiful text this is, you know that, very beautiful text. You understand, he's going to talk about contemplation later on, how he prepares. You understand the where it falls, and how the religious life is part of spirituality. Understand, spirituality and religion, there's no religious culture. Understand? It's a lifestyle is religious, implies, reflects religious culture. It is based on spiritual vision. Not two different things, you know. You also understood what is bhakti here, isn't it? So, mentally done japaha, manasam japaha, itself becomes meditation. Whether you say Om Namah Shivaya, it is Uchaihi Kritaha Japaha. Om Namah Shivaya, softly done Japaha. Om Namah Shivaya, mentally Manasam Japaha, which itself becomes meditation. So initially you need mala. Okay, but there's a time when you, for manas and japaha, you don't need mala. Attention is not disturbed by anything. Just the mind is in mantra. Body is not involved. When even speech is not involved. Sound is not involved. Just the attention of the mind is with the nama. Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, any some mantra. This manas and japaha itself becomes meditation. This will result, what is the phalam one can gain as a result of meditation or this puja? Mental steadiness. Is it clear now? Okay. Now he says, again he is little elaborating on karma yoga. Look at this. Jagatayishadi yukta sevanam. Jagatayishadi yukta sevanam. Ashtamurti Brit Deva Pujanam. Ashtamurti Brit Deva Pujanam. Uttamastava Duchamandata. Uttamastava Duchamandata. Chitta Jam Japa Dhyanam Uttamam. Chitta Jam Japa Dhyanam Uttamam. Jagatayishadhi yukta sevanam. Jagatayishadhi yukta sevanam. Ashtamurti bhrit deva pujanam. Ashtamurti bhrit deva pujanam. Uttamastavad uchamandatah. Uttamastavad uchamandatah. Chitta jam japa dhyanam uttamam. Chitta jam japa dhyanam uttamam. So, he talked about the kayikam karma, vachikam karma, manasam karma. Then, now in this particular verse, how kayikam karma, now kayikam, the worship in the form of physical activity, now, how the physical activity can become worship. Look at this. Physical activity, how it can become worship. That is said in this fifth verse. How mental activity can become worship is going to say next sloka. He is going to elaborate on this here. Jagata Ishadhi Yukta Sevanam Ashta Murti Brit Deva Pujanam. See, Deva Pujanam means worship of the Lord. Worship of the Lord means, generally we say worship of the Lord in eight different, Lord of eight forms. What are the eight forms here? Generally, Ashta Murti is generally we always discussed here. Ashta Murti Bhrit means one who is endowed with, whatever, Bhrit. Murti Bhrit means what? One who is endowed with the form. What form? Eightfold forms. What are the eight forms here? Each element is Bhagavan's form only. Akasha is one form, Vayu is another form of Bhagavan. You know, Vayu is another form. That is why we have, you know, Tamil Nadu, we have worship Bhagavan five different forms, in five different places. So this worshipping Lord in five different forms as five different elements as what? Bhagavan is in the form of five different elements, five forms of Bhagavan. Even though Bhagavan is formless, every form is what? Bhagavan only. So five forms, five elements. Then what we can say? No, sun, moon. 2, 7. What is the eighth form? We say the consciousness, the very sorupam of Bhagavan. Ashtamurti. You can say jiva also. You can also say conscious being. We just say consciousness. So here, these eight forms, Ashtamurti, Bhagavan is in the form of elements. The elements stand for elementals also. Eight forms stand for all the forms of the Lord. Eight is equal to all the forms. All the forms. Why? Because elements means it stands for all the elementals. And sun, moon stand for all the, other worlds also. And consciousness stands for the very reality, all the jivas also. Nothing is excluded. Eight stands for all the eight forms of the Lord, stand for all the forms of the Lord. So worship of the Lord, okay, in eight different forms. Worship of the Lord of eight forms. Ashta Murti Brit Deva Pujanam. How can you worship the Lord of eight forms? Lord in the form of eightfold forms. He says here, Sevanam, just by serving. Sevanam. Now, what is Sevanam? Serving of what? Service to what? Jagataha Sevanam. Now, serving the world, universe. How can you serve the universe here? He says, whatever karma you do, look at it, whatever action you do, whatever duty you do, but if you do it, with an understanding of, Ishvara being the whole Jagat. If you do anything, whatever you do in the universe, and you are not doing for here, because doing anything for the universe is not doing for the Lord. Whatever you do for the universe, whatever you do in the universe, you are doing it for the Lord. How do you say? How can you say that? Because universe and the Lord are not two different things. That's all. You see, the universe and Lord are not two different things. It's very simple. Look at this. So, Ishadhihi, okay? Ishadhihi means what? Dhihi means knowledge, understanding. Thought, attitude. Dhihi means knowledge, understanding, thought, attitude. With what thought you do? Okay, the whole Jagat is Ishwaraha. With this thought. So, doing anything, doing any service, doing anything, with this thought that the whole Jagat is Ishwara, is what? Ishadhi Yukta Sevanam. Ishadhi Yukta. Ishadhi Yukta means what? Looking at the Ishaha. Whole Jagat is Ishwaraha. Now, this is the Dehi. This is the thought you have. And so being endowed with this thought of looking at everything as Ishvara, when you serve everything, then that service becomes worship of the Lord in eight forms. Worship of the Lord is another way of doing it, no? Whatever you do, that means what? There is nothing which is not Ishvara. All that is here is Ishvara. The whole Jagat is Ishvara. If Jagat is not different from Ishvara, Ishvara is not different from Jagat. Ishvara is in the form of the Jagat. Even though Ishvara is not the Jagat, Ishvara is in the form of the Jagat. And whole Jagat is Ishvara. With this understanding, with this knowledge of the Ishvara, with this understanding, with this attitude of looking at the Jagat as Ishvara, if you serve, no, that's what Jagataha Sevanam. Ishadhi Yukta Sevanam. Ishaha Jagat Ishaha Yeva. Iti Dhya Yuktaha. With this thinking, if you do any service, that becomes service to the Lord. Whatever you do is service to the Lord. They are not two different things. Even though I do not have initial understanding, the whole Jagat is Ishvara. Therefore, whatever I do here in this Jagat, for the sake, for the universe, in this universe, whatever I do is in fact, it becomes service to the Lord only. Why? Because the whole universe is Ishvara. The whole universe is the Lord. Therefore, in this way, one can convert all one's physical activities into worship. How to convert work into worship? We always say work is worship. Work becomes worship if you do your work with this attitude of looking at the whole Jagat as Ishvara. Otherwise, work is work. Work convert into worship becomes karma yoga. Work which remains as work is just the karma. Karma binds, karma yoga liberates. Karma does not allow the mind to become pure and steady. Karma yoga can't help preparing the mind for knowledge. Amazing, isn't it? Ishadhi yukta. Sometimes Ramana's words are very, we have to supply words, the language. He's very, he just puts the code language, like there's a grammar, as a person who knows a lot of grammar and all that, if you look at it, now you have to really supply. Very careful. So I tell you, people do not understand Ramana's teaching until Swamiji started unfolding this text. People were really confused. Look at this, Ramana Maharshi emphasizes so clearly about Pujanam, Japaha, Chintanam, Kramat, he emphasizes. You ask many Ramana Maharshi devotees, just don't do puja, don't go ritual, anything. Just ask, who am I, who am I, who am I, who am I, and you will get an answer. Because many people think only meditation. It's Ramana's way of teaching is different. Ramana is not at all different from Adishankara in his teaching. One text is the proof. I'm not, you are all reading it. He talks about very word, he uses very word pujanam. And he says kaya vang manah karyam. Kaya karyam, manah karyam, vak karyam. He emphasizes all that. It's a traditional, very traditional way of knowing. That's why nothing is jumped, no? Just simply go for meditation. Don't do this, don't do this, don't want that, don't want that. Just the meditation is enough. Then we are losing out the culture, no? That's the easy steps. We miss out the steps. We want to leap. When we leap, we don't know where we'll fall also. How we'll fall down and what will happen, we don't know. Understand? That means we have to really go against all the wishes of all our vision of all Mahatmas. We have 64 people standing in attention in all Shiva temples. 9 months. And all these 12 people, 9 Alvars. We had to, they all so much, they emphasize the very lifestyle, every 9 months lifestyle is what? ஆல் காய்க்கும் கர்மா, வச்சிக்கும் கர்மா, மானும் கர்மா, அழுது பரண்டு பகவான் பாடி, you know, all this we have to, then that's all we need, all those things, because we have to grow. Simply drive all the time. You don't need to do anything, okay? Just live the way life, and, you know, enjoined by Veda, Vedic way of life. Your meditative disposition will be taken care of. You would be meditative, you can't help having Vishnu Bhagavan. That's why, you know, Swamiji always, he quotes Tyagaraja's words, Chakkani Raja Margam, it's a royal path laid in front of you. Just live the Vedic way of life. No, live, it's a clean, nice, comfortable path, thorn-free. Understand? Thorn-free path, very comfortable, Sugusana Pade. Isn't it? Live life Karma Yoga. Tyagaraja says, no, Raja Margam. No, Chakkani Raja Margam. So, just go this way and you can't miss the vision. Many people misinterpret Ramana Maharishi. So I have to say, because you all come across some people, now at least you know what it is. People misinterpret. If Ramana Maharishi cannot go against, you know, the vision of Nayan Mats or any other Mahatmas in India, any other all Mahatmas you see, they all emphasize all these things. Even though he is going to say meditation, see, even his chintanam, kramat, he is going to say next now. Meditation is the best. But what is before that? Kramat. What is in proper order? How think all these things should be, how worship should be done in proper order? What is better than what? How one prepares for the other? It's all said here. So here he says, so jagataha ishadhi isha, look at this, we have a split here. Jagataha, say that.
Jagataha
ishadhi yukta sevanam. You say jagataha sevanam. Jagataha sevanam means what here? See, service of the universe. Serving the universe. Service of the universe, serving the universe. How can you serve the universe? No, that becomes jagataha sevanam pujanam bhavati. Ashtamurti bhrit means Bhagavan. Ashtamurti bhrit is the word which means Ishvara, the Lord. Okay, deva pujanam. Becomes the worship. Jagataha sevanam pujanam bhavati. You have to take that way. Service to the universe, service of the universe becomes worship. So what is service of the universe, service to the universe, or serving the universe? What do you mean by that? Whatever I do is serving the universe only. That itself becomes what? Pujanam bhavati. How does it become pujanam, worship? If you have yukta dhi, okay, dhi yukta. If you are endowed with this attitude, yukta means endowed. If you are endowed with this attitude, what attitude? Ishaha. This universe is Ishaha. If you're endowed with this attitude that this universe is Ishaha, then I'm serving this, then the serving the universe becomes service to the Lord. Service of the universe becomes service of the Lord. So we say Madhava Seva, no, we say here. Jagat Seva becomes Jagannath Seva. Jagat Seva becomes Jagannath Seva. Tamil we say a lot of things. Makkal Seva, Maheshan Seva, Madhava Seva. This is so many words we say. Jana Seva, Janesha Seva. No? Service becomes what? Service of the Lord. Service of the universe becomes service of the Lord if you are endowed with this attitude that this universe is Ishwaraha. All that is here is the Lord. If it is, no, if it becomes worship, it is yoga. If it is yoga, it takes care of your mental purity required for knowledge. If your mental purity is there, you will be blessed with knowledge. Knowledge is there, you will be free. Understand? Therefore it is worship. Then, this is how, this also helps. This, so doing everything, anything you do, now look looking at everything as Ishvara, with understanding. Even this is a fact. This fact has to become true to my understanding. All that is Ishvara. This really helps one to neutralize ahankara initially, later on to become free from ahankara totally. Ellam irivane endra ennathodu seyalgal seiyum bodhu ahankaram now is actually neutralized, and slowly it will be one can become free from ahankara, which is knowledge and which is moksha. See, one sentence he says such a beautiful thing. How to convert your service into, you know, action into worship, work into worship. Just do anything with this attitude. What is attitude? Everything is Ishvara. Jagati is Ishvara. So, jagataha krite, kritam karyam. Now, anything you do for the universe becomes worship to the Lord. Worship of the Lord. Service of the Lord. Okay. Now he says, next, now he says, he talks about the japaha, and also he's especially talking about the vachikam karma. The previous verse in the fifth mantra, he said how to convert the physical activity into worship. Understand? Worship. Then now he says how to make the oral activity worship. No? Also worship means what? A more effective worship. How to convert the oral activity, no, japa, into a upasana meditation. He says here. He talks about the worship in the form of oral activity. In the fifth mantra, he talks about worship in the form of physical activity. Okay? And now he talks about the worship in the form of oral activity.
उत्तमस्तवादुच्चमन्दतः उत्तमस्तवादुच्चमन्दतः चित्तजं जप ध्यानमुत्तमम् चित्तजं जप ध्यानमुत्तमम्.
I have already told you about this, but he's again repeating here the context of the other previous shloka itself. What I explained, he is repeating here. See, uttama stavat. Uttamaha means the best, the most perfect being is uttamaha. Now we say adamaha, madhyamaha, uttamaha. We have this difference. Okay, uttamaha means the most perfect person. The most perfect being is Uttamaha. The best of the beings is Uttamaha. Best of the beings. Who is the best? The most perfect is the best. Who is the most perfect person? Totally flawless person. Who is the totally, only flawless person, defect-free person is what? Kuraye sollapada mudiyada vanyana. Bhagavan is the Purushottamaha. Understand now? Bhagavan alone is Purushottamaha. That's why all of us can have something. We are all human beings, with what? We are a mixture of both. Understand now? We do have some imperfection. We are striving for absolute, total perfection. And in fact, we can never attain perfection. We are already perfection. Understand now? Perfect. And we have discovered this perfection. That's the problem. And then, we can't expect things, limited things to be perfect, totally perfect, because everything has to be imperfect in its own limit because of its limitation. Understand? So here, Bhagavan is only Purushottamaha. You see, Uttamaha here is who? Bhagavan. Uttamasya stavaha, uttamastavaha. Stavaha means what I told you already, praise. Isn't it? Praise is uttastavaha. So, stavat means what? Stavaha means praise. So praise implies what? So hymns of praise. Stavaha stands for hymns of praise, verses in praise, verses recited in praise, mantras or hymns chanted in praise, okay, lyrics sung in praise, all, you know, can be taken, you know, to be meant by the word stavaha. The word stavaha implies all these things. A hymns recited or chanted in praise, Vedic hymns, or stotras, no, recited in praise, and lyrics or any kirtanam sung in praise of the Lord, no, is called what? Uttama stavaha. And these uttama stavaha, okay, these hymns or mantras or stotras or, you know, lyrics or kirtanams recited or sung or chanted in praise of the Lord can be recited how, chanted how, sung how, either loudly or softly. So here we can say, so he says, uttama uccha, you see here, Uchamandataha uttamastavat. You have to take that way. Uchamandataha uttamastavat. Uccha stands for something sung or recited aloud. Manda stands for something recited softly. See, softly or aloud, anything in praise of the Lord, chanted or sung, no, recited is, than that, we can say, Chittajam Japadhyanam Uttamam. It is better, no, what is better? What is more exalted of all this? You can sing in praise of the Lord, recite the verse in praise of the Lord, okay, chant mantras in praise of the Lord, how? Softly or aloud. Loudly you can chant or softly you can recite. So you can either chant like that. Then that he says here, this chittajam japadhyanam uttamam. See, chittajam japaha. Chittajam japaha means what? The mentally done japa. Repetition of a mantra done mentally, or mentally done japaha. Chittajam japaha means mentally done japaha. Mentally, a mantra repeated mentally, which is called chittajam japaha. A mantra or name of the Lord repeated mentally is what? Chittajam japaha, which becomes what? Uttamam dhyanam. It becomes a meditation itself, which is better than everything. Same thing what I've already told you, because the words are not very, well put, no? Not like other texts. You have to supply a lot of words to make it proper compounds. He's very, no, cold here. Uttamastavate uchamandataha. You have to say uchamandataha uttamastavat. Okay? So then chanting something or singing something in praise of the Lord loudly or softly, what is better is just to do the japa mentally, which itself becomes meditation. Dhyanam bhavati. See, chitta japaha eva. Chittajam japaha means manasam japaha. Manasam japaha means what? Mental japaha. Mental repeating the mantra. That becomes what? Now manasam japaha becomes dhyanam, which is uttamam, which is the best. Which itself becomes meditation. Therefore, japaha is what? Now japaha can be vachikam, oral. And it can be, how it can be? It can be uccha japaha or nicha japaha. Uccha japaha or nicha japaha. It can be loudly written or softly written. Or anything sung in praise of the Lord. That's why uttamastavat. Uchamandataha uttamastavat. Then that, manas chittajam japaha dhyanam uttamam. This is better. So, Ramana Maharshi here recommends mental japa, manasam japaha, as the best of all forms of worship. Does not say other forms of worship are useless. We know that very well. Say manasam japaha becomes, you know, the best of the disciplines, one of the exalted forms of disciplines. So do the japa orally, softly, or he says, Always chanting something softly is better than saying something loud. Understand? And now, even chanting something mentally is much better than even saying something softly. Which is manasam japaha is what becomes dhyanam, meditation. What can meditation do? Meditation will result in mental steadiness. What can worship do? Worship also will result in mental steadiness. What is worship for? Worship is to invoke the devotee in oneself, just the devotee without any role play. Worship also will bless one with all forms of prosperity. Actually, the manasa japaha, I tell you, will really make one calm, very calm. People go for all these different types of things. No, manasa japaha is very good. That is why, if you see any acharya, if you go in India, if you go and ask for something, the first thing they'll tell you, okay, buy one japamala, and they do ask, they give you some mantra, then ask you to do japam. In India, this is the very best sadhana. What's the best sadhana I had to do? Now, what is that I should do first? As a spiritual seeker, aspirant, what is that spiritual discipline, religious discipline I should follow? Do japam. Do japam. Now, keep on doing japam. That is why, okay, 108 times, 1008 times, lakh and 8 times. And if they say Gayatri Mantra Japa, if somebody is initiated to Gayatri Japam, and they'll say, does mantra conserve 24 syllables? 24 syllables, if the mantra consists of, it's called Gayatri, meter. The meter consisting of 24 syllables is called Gayatri. Gayatri is the name of a meter, Chandas. And here this Om Bhurbhuvah, so there are so many Gayatris, okay? There are so many mantras in the same meter. Like once, there are so many lyrics sung in the same ragam. One Bhairavi can, you know, many songs are there in one, sung in one same Bhairavi ragam. At any, you know, Hindolam. Like that here also you can say so many mantras are in the same Gayatri meter. One meter can, you know? But what one mantra is a very popular mantra. Wherein you ask for jnanam, enlightenment, meant clarity, to be direct in the right, you know, the thoughts, the prayer, wherein you pray for the, all direction of right thoughts in the right direction. You ask for jnanam. That mantra becomes a Gayatri mantra. Really speaking, Gayatri is the name of a meter. And the mantra is a Savitri mantra. What is Savitri mantra? Invoke the Lord in the form of sun. Wherein grace of the Lord in the form of sun, and you ask for, you pray intensely for knowledge. Any Gayatri you ask for, you know, Tanno Rudra Prachodayat, Tanno, no? Everywhere Prachodayat, Naha Deha Prachodayat, Om Bhurbhuvasvaha Tatsavitruvare Enyam Bhargo Devas Dhimahi Dhyo Yona Prachodayat, Naha Deha Prachodayat. Okay, may you inspire our thoughts, right direction, and please bless us with enlightenment, knowledge. That is why Gayatri mantra, now as a, in fact, Savitri mantra. Savitri is the name of the Lord's son. The mantra wherein Bhagavan is invoked, you know, in the form of son, which is in Gayatri meter, is what? Savitri mantra in Gayatri meter. Later on, what it has become? Gayatri mantra means Savitri mantra. Our Swamiji always says, you go and buy Lux, 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 and then you ask for soap. You want for soap. Then what? You don't go and ask for, okay, soap. Lux means Lux becomes soap, isn't it? Like that Swamiji says all.
Like the Hoover vacuum cleaner, you always Hoover, because that's a make.
See, ideally, then have the verb also, isn't it? Anyway. I don't know, it is anyway, whatever it is. When I came to this country first time, it was a big for me. Okay, the hoovering was something very new for me. Anyway, now what I'm saying, like that, the Gayatri mantra, so that mantra, when you say 24 syllables, it consists of, the Gayatri meter consists of 24 syllables. And they say, from the day one you are initiated into this mantra, the day when you finish 24 lakhs, a japa, when you finish, you will have mantra siddhi. you heard, then lot of things you will have, whatever you say will become true, and that, you know, it's all siddhi, lot of mantra siddhi means it will, you'll be blessed with lot of powers and stuff. But you have shraddha in it. You should do it regularly. And living a life of dharma, the commitment to knowledge, and having shraddha in what you're doing with the intention. No? This is a discipline, great discipline. That is why you see all Brahma virtues. So you see many people who do regular japa, you can see Vaidikas, so nice, they look very, the way you see, you look at them, you can see that, their face. There are many Vaidikas, no? In India we have a lot of people who regular, very disciplined, clean, disciplined life. Now what I'm saying here, that sort of, so japa is said, that is why japa also when you do, you know, manasam japa as you do, it doesn't need to be a Gayatri mantra, any big thing, any nama japa, you do it mentally, that itself becomes what? Meditation. Understand now? Chittajam japa uttamam dhyanam bhavati. I have to make a sentence here. Chittajam japa uttamam dhyanam bhavati. This week I'm going to teach language. It becomes meditation. Mental japa becomes meditation. Because attention is focused. And as you're chanting the nama, the mind goes somewhere. Okay, you decide to do 108 times. And 10 nama, 15 namas, you are already focused. 16 nama, mind starts slowly go somewhere. Slowly go somewhere. But if you're conscious, doesn't matter. Don't need to worry about mind going somewhere. But again, bring it back. Bring it back like a child. Understand now? Every time, no? Bring it back. It's how practice. Understand now? Practice. This is very good. Slowly, it is how one has to. Manasam japa is the best thing to know as a pre-preparation and preparation. Understand now? For meditation. It just becomes meditation. Time? Time போனது தெரியல எனக்கு. I haven't finished, my God. I thought I'm starting now to teach. Only now I've come back. Anyway, I want to remember this order, how he develops the subject matter, how he, you know, tells the importance. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Rubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. So everyone, bless all of you, all your children especially, with a full, you know, with a long, healthy, happy, prosperous and dharma conscious life. Bhagavan blessed you all with the fulfillment of all righteous wishes.